What a privilege it is to be able to be here, not only with those of you from Spurgeon College, but also with Midwestern. It's always great to be able to see firsthand what God is doing through the support of the Cooperative Program of Southern Baptist and seeing God call out individuals to be able to serve Him. And let me tell you, you're very blessed to be under the leadership of Dr. Allen. We have been able to watch from afar. I am from Kentucky and just recently moved here to Missouri, and grateful for not only what God is doing in the life of this seminary, but also throughout the life of Missouri Baptists, and grateful to be able to be here and to share this time with you here today. I want to invite you to go ahead and find in your Bibles the book of Jonah, chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4 in the Old Testament. We will spend our time together there in the Word today. And as we find our place in the Scripture, I'd like to pray for us, and we will ask for the Lord's direction on this message. And so, Father, we pray, God, that in this moment that You would allow us to hear Your truth spoken into our lives, that we may seek to be a people that reflect Your heartbeat, Your mission. And so, God, we just pray that You will guide us in this time as the Scripture is open. Would You open our hearts to welcome Your Word? Father, I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin our time together today by asking a question. Have you ever felt so negatively about someone that you withhold grace from them? Have you ever felt so negatively about someone that you withhold grace from them? And to be honest, you would be happy if God withheld His grace from them as well. I don't know how it's been for you, but in my social media feeds over the last several weeks, it seems like Kanye West is in every one of my news feeds. There are people tremendously excited, go Kanye, Kanye has met Jesus. And there are others saying, really, Kanye's met Jesus? You see, you have to understand, when you come to an individual like Kanye West, he is a polarizing figure in the sense that through the course of his public career, it seems that Kanye West has offended everybody. A little over a decade ago, Kanye West offended all the Republicans when he insulted President George Bush. Not too long ago, Kanye West offended all of the Democrats when he met with President Trump. And in the middle of that, Kanye West offended a lot of people when he interrupted Taylor Swift's speech at the award show. And so everybody can find a reason not to be happy with Kanye West. And it really got me thinking, isn't it interesting that in the diversity of the people that are in my newsfeed, that I hear people rejoicing in the fact that Kanye says Jesus is Lord, and there are other people just a smidge disgruntled about it. Have you ever felt so negatively about someone that you have wanted to withhold grace from them? And to be honest, you would be okay if God withheld His grace from them as well. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament reflects the ministry here of an Old Testament prophet of the 8th century. Jonah was a man of God from the northern kingdom who God says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, He says, "Arise and go to Nineveh." God says to them that their wickedness had reached him. That is to say that it was so much an affront to God. He says, "I'm sending you there to be able to proclaim their wickedness and also God's holiness." And so Jonah, as a servant of God, as a man of God, he goes in the opposite direction. Geographically, heads out in the opposite direction. And many of you all may know the story. We won't recount it all here, but we do begin to see that Jonah begins to run away from God. And in his running, he boards a ship headed in the opposite direction. God brings about and appoints a storm, and there it is confirmed that Jonah realizes that it is his disobedience that is causing this storm. Asks the men, the sailors, to throw him overboard, and they do. And there in the depths of that water, God appoints a great fish to be able to come and to swallow Jonah. Reminding us in that moment that you are never too lost for God to find you. And you are never too low for God to reach you. And there God begins to do a work in Jonah's life. If you were to move into chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, you would see that Jonah prays, and Jonah prays wonderful truths about God. And there it seems in that moment, he turns his heart back to the face of God. And so in Jonah chapter 3, we see that God again gives the command to Jonah. He says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.' And so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh." He went to Nineveh this time. He obeyed the Lord, and he goes. "Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth, and Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Now, this word that is used for overthrown is a word that is used elsewhere in Scripture. Actually, it is used to describe the destruction that God brings about with Sodom and Gomorrah, perhaps a more well-known story than this. And so Jonah goes around as the prophet of God. He pronounces the wickedness of man, the holiness of God, and the judgment of God that will come upon sin in that moment. But verse 5, a startling thing begins to happen. The Bible says, "And the people of Nineveh believed God." Oh, if we had a people that would believe God today when confronted with their sin. It says, "And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them." The remainder of chapter 3 is an expression, a tangible expression of a heart of repentance and humility before an almighty God when dealing with sin. It is a remarkable picture of repentance. And chapter 3 ends with a beautiful verse. It says, "When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it." The book of Jonah really is a snapshot for us to be able to see the whole of Scripture talking about the mission of God, where God would make his name great among peoples of all nations, where God would make his fame and his name so great, and he would use the people of Israel to be a blessing, and he would use through Israel his son Jesus Christ to come and to seek and to save the lost. And here in this time in history, we get a snapshot into the mission of God, that a holy God calls out our sin, and yet in his grace and his mercy, offers forgiveness for those who repent. Got to be really honest with you. You come to the end of chapter 3. If Jonah were only 3 chapters long, we could walk away and celebrate. What a great verse to end on. It's a high point for all of us, isn't it? When you say, "And God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way. God relented of the disaster, and he did not do to them the things that he said." You know, the reality is we don't get to end with Jonah chapter 3. And the truth is as we move into Jonah chapter 4, we get to see the dark side of the human heart. In Jonah chapter 4, we see what is possible in the lives of people. And what I want to talk to you about today is to understand how blessed you are to be at Spurgeon College, how blessed you are to be either a master's or a doctoral student, to be able to realize the blessings of having your head filled with theological truth and grounding. But I want you to know there is something that an education cannot do for you. It cannot change your heart. And you sit under excellent professors and instructors, and they want to teach you the truths of God, and every bit of that is important, but they cannot turn your heart. Have you ever felt so negatively about someone that you are willing to withhold grace from them? And if you're honest, you would be okay if God withheld his grace from them as well. We get into chapter 4. And here we see in chapter 4, really three things. The first is Jonah's problem. The second is Jonah's prayer. And the third is God's lesson of grace. First, let's start with the problem. We get to chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice what happens here. The Bible says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." Now, I want to just go on record to say that this may be the only time that a minister who preaches the truths of God actually gets upset that someone listened to his sermon. I know many pastors and preachers that get upset because many times we will preach the truths of God and wondering if anyone is receptive, if anyone is welcoming the word, if anyone will believe God. We get upset in our spirit. We hurt for that. And yet here is the exact opposite, the polar opposite. Jonah, as this prophet, preaches the truths of God. They believe God, and then Jonah gets mad about it. He's got a problem. And it is a problem of the human heart. You see, here's what this is. When we allow our human heart not to align with the heart of God, we have mission friction. Jonah deals with issues here of both pride and prejudice. Pride informs some of this in his heart. He was one of the people of Israel. He was one of the people of God. He struggled with seeing himself as spiritually superior. Perhaps there's a hint of narrow nationalism in here, and even maybe a bit of his reputation as a prophet on the line. But you know, pride can be one of those things in our lives where we begin to look at ourselves and say, you know what, God, I'm not so bad. But accompanied with this heart of pride is a heart of prejudice, where he begins to look at them, and it's not simply just saying, God, I'm not so bad. He's looking at them saying, God, they're not good at all. God, why would you choose to deal with them in such a way? Now, to be sure, Nineveh had earned their reputation. His sense of enmity and hatred towards these people, it was well earned. He is an 8th century prophet. They had plenty of history as being agitators towards the people of Israel. These were enemies of the kingdom. Understand rightly, they had earned their reputation to be known in the scripture as a city of blood. Some of the atrocities that they had committed are almost unmentionable in civilized culture. They had earned every bit of that. And so all of these things beginning to inform him, the Bible says there in verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. In the King James Version, it would say he was ticketh off. He's upset. And it's a remarkable contrast, isn't it, that you have in one moment this beautiful verse that says that these people turned to God and God relented, and Jonah, in verse 1, resented what God had done. Jonah's problem. And that problem is within all of us. When we get to this place where our hearts do not align with the heart of God, for his glory and for his mission. And so what happens in verse 2 is Jonah begins to pray. And let me just go ahead and say, when you have a problem of the human heart, it is good to pray. It is wonderful to pray. I encourage you to pray through your problems. I encourage you to pray even when the condition of your heart is not right. But Jonah prays, and it's an interesting prayer. It's not necessarily a model prayer for us to follow. But here's what he says in verse 2. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? In some ways, he's saying this, God, we could have saved a whole lot of time. I wouldn't have had to run around all of these distant places. I could have told you this is what is going to happen. He says, that is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. And so in his prayer, he makes a foolish request and a foolish complaint. First, the complaint. He says there in verse 2, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Can you get the hint of his complaint there? Here's his complaint. God, you are just too good. God, you acted according to your character. And so in his prayer, he brings out this complaint. He's simply saying, God, you're too good. Almost as if he's saying, God, you're too good for your own good. God, do you know what people might think of you? God, your reputation might be on the line. God, do you really want to have your name associated with Kanye West? God, do you want to have your name associated with the Ninevites? He complains to God about the goodness of God. Again, who complains about the goodness of God? There are times that we lament when we say, God, we may not see your goodness clearly. God, your goodness may not be on display visibly, and we may complain, we may look for it, but who complains about the goodness of God? Really? This prophet. That's what he says. He says, for I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. And so now he makes a request, and it's a fool's request. Verse 3, he says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah, man of God, messenger of God's message, preaches the holiness of God, preaches the wickedness of sin, and people turn to God. And his response is, God, if you're going to do that, why don't you just kill me? In essence, he's saying, God, why don't you just kill me? I'd rather die than see those people forgiven. And so he just goes on and he gets upset. And there's a little bit of drama here, right? I mean, there's a point where I have a 2.5-year-old and she throws tantrums like this. There's a part of me that I want to be able to speak into Jonah's life and say, Jonah, you need a nap and a pacifier. That works for my daughter. But he's upset. And so he says, God, I just assume you kill me. And it could be that he was more concerned with his reputation than God's reputation, or he may not have fully understood God's reputation in the midst of all of that. But what a request in his prayer. God says here in the scripture, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Do you do well to be angry? Charles Spurgeon says, and I knew I had to have a Spurgeon quote if I came here. Charles Spurgeon says, we think that we do well to be angry with the rebellious, and so we prove ourselves to be more like Jonah than like Jesus. We actually think we're justified in our anger. We actually think we're justified to hold the positions in our heart that we hold that do not align with God. We actually will justify the way that we feel about other people, and we will withhold grace, and we're content if God would choose to withhold grace from them as well. Now, I may be the first chapel speaker this semester that references both Spurgeon and Kanye, But as God's truth goes out, isn't that remarkable that we would look at those that are living in rebellion and we would ignore our own rebellion? In fact, Tim Keller would say that if you were to look at the four chapters of the book of Jonah, Jonah spends the first couple of chapters being the prodigal son in rebellion, running away from the father, and he spends the last two chapters being the older brother. We do not often see our own rebellion for what it is. We have convinced ourselves that we were not so bad in the first place. And so here God begins to teach a lesson about grace. If you will, let's look at verse 5 and following. The Bible says, Jonah went out of the city and he sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade until he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant, and he made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. And so Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. It's good to know Jonah got happy about something. The Bible says here, in verse 7, but when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. We get it, Jonah. In verse 10, and the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? And so even in the condition that Jonah finds himself in, God teaches him some lessons about grace. And I want to be able to share those with us here in our remaining time. The first lesson is this, is that God exposes the hypocrisy of rejoicing in his grace while resenting others who receive it. God exposes the hypocrisy of rejoicing in his grace while resenting others who receive it. We are happy for God to tilt grace in our direction, but there are times we want him to tilt judgment in someone else's. You understand what I'm saying here? This is a situation where Jonah is happy to receive grace in his life and simultaneously resent it from being given to other people. And God, in this moment, exposes the hypocrisy of rejoicing in his grace while resenting others who receive it. You see, Jonah saw his sin and the Ninevites' sin differently. And in this moment, what God does is, as Jonah goes out of the city, you can imagine what's happening here. Jonah goes out of the city. He sits there. He builds a booth. He's just watching to see if they're going to screw up or if God's going to change his mind. You can imagine he's sitting there. He's probably got his little prophet popcorn. He's probably just watching what's going on, ready to see this happen. And God appoints a plant that brings some shade And the Bible said that Jonah was exceedingly glad. He rejoiced in that. And in this moment, God begins to show him there is a hypocrisy in your life that you can rejoice in the grace here, but you resent it when it is given to other people. The second lesson in grace is this, is that God exposes the fallacy of viewing grace as something we deserve. Did you notice how God teaches him about the plant? Did you catch that? He said, You did not plant the plant. You did not labor over it. You did not make it grow. It came into being in a night. God says, hey, I did that. Jonah, you didn't deserve that. I did that. And sometimes we forget about grace being undeserved in all of our lives. You see, it's so easy for us to look at somebody else and say, God, they don't deserve it. And God lovingly whispers back to us, neither did we. And then in this lesson of grace, God teaches this. God exposes the absurdity of caring about a plant that perishes and not caring about people who are perishing. Jonah gets upset because the plant is there in a moment and then taken away from him, a plant that literally lived for a day and it dies. He gets upset about this plant that perishes, and he's not concerned about people who are perishing. You know what? I know it's a great big world out there, but a lot of times we just live in our own little world. And there are times that God is one. You to see that you really just care about the things in your little world. And he wants you to see the things that he cares about in his. The Bible tells us that God wants everyone to be able to come to repentance. It's the heartbeat of God. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And yet, there are times in our lives we're okay if some do. We want to withhold grace from them, and we're okay if God withholds grace from them as well. And that's mission friction. When our hearts do not line with God's heart for the mission of making his name great and lifting up his son who is beautiful, and sharing the gospel that is essential for people to be reconciled to the Father. I close with this. If you ever want to know the heart of God, you simply need to look only at two situations, one here and one in Hebrews. Here we find that Jonah goes outside of the city to be able to watch God burned the city down. He's happy to watch the city burn. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 12, that Jesus also went outside of the city to sanctify a people by the shedding of his blood. You ever want to understand the heartbeat of God and the mission of God when it comes towards sinners, you'll see the distinction between a Jonah who would rather go outside of the city and watch the city burn and our Savior who would go outside of the city to shed his blood. And so I'll close with how I began. Is there anyone or any group of people that you withhold grace from? You think so negatively of them that you withhold grace from them, and you would be fine if God did as well. Who are the Ninevites in your life? Who are the people of Nineveh in your path right now that you struggle to show grace? My prayer is that each of us will align our hearts with the heart of the Father. And so, Father, I pray over all that are gathered here that have sat under the word today. Father, I pray, God, that we would have heard you well. And Father, may you help our hearts to match your heartbeat, that we may carry the gospel well, but not simply out of compliance and obedience, but to carry it out of a place of compassion, for those that are far from God to be brought near by the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray that you help us to do that well. And so, God, we pray that you allow this word to take root in our lives, to be lived out for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.